Hi everyone, my name is Brad and this is the first video from the Basic Bible Study course. In this course, we'll work through some of the basics of how to read your Bible well and get the most out of it. This first section is just an introduction to a few concepts and what we'll be trying to accomplish. We'll try to address some basic assumptions and understandings behind the goals and content of this course, and this will give us a solid understanding of what good Bible study entails and tries to accomplish, which will set the stage for future sections. And then, in future lessons, we'll get into more detail about exactly how to go about it. Now, I want to start with the question of why we need to learn how to study the Bible. And to introduce this concept, we'll talk about communication in general. So let's look at a short drama to see communication in action. Hi, Shannon. What have you been up to?
I've just got back.
Wow, not only was that very rude, but it's an example of a failure of communication. Now, it wasn't Shannon's fault. She spoke clearly and intelligently. However, communication is a two-player game. It involves a sender and a receiver. And in this scene, the failure of communication was not with the sender, it was with the receiver. Now, when we talk about Bible study, we are talking about communication, and we're concentrating on our role as the receivers of communication from God through the Bible. Therefore, for communication to happen, we must be willing to listen. Why wouldn't we be willing to listen, you ask? Now, I'm not just talking about this infantile attitude of shouting with our hands over our ears. There actually are a few things that might hinder our willingness to listen to the Bible. And the first is a fear of what we might hear. We all know that we are less willing to listen when something challenges a cherished belief or confronts our failures. And the Bible does talk about very personal things and fundamental worldview issues. It confronts the core of who we are. And for a variety of reasons, all of us are in danger of refusing to listen whenever we think it will be too costly to us. Therefore, we need to guard against this. When God speaks something that challenges us or makes us uncomfortable, there's always a temptation to refuse to listen, to put our hands over our ears. So we need to always guard ourselves and resist that temptation. We should at least hear the evidence before we make a verdict. We should at least have the courtesy to hear what the Bible has to say before we respond to it. Now, a second way we can refuse to listen is simply to not make the time and effort to hear. Sometimes it might seem hard to study the Bible, and there's so much else we could do with our time. We might not see immediate payoff from Bible reading, or we might not see immediate payoff from learning Bible study skills. But like physical exercise, it is worth it in the long run. Bible study is a skill that has benefit in so many ways that we might not recognize it first. And so we trust that it will be worth it by reminding ourselves that God is trustworthy. Now, notice that for both of these hindrances, they're not issues of intelligence or education, but they're issues of character. And therefore, to read the Bible well, spiritual preparation is important. Now, I'm not saying that we need something spooky or that we should go into a trance and not use our brain. Rather, I'm saying we need more than just our intelligence. We need character, which will help us to listen fairly rather than covering our ears and rejecting what we don't understand. And character that'll help to motivate us to do the hard work to really learn what the Bible has to say. Now, even if we disagree at first, we should at least give the Bible a fair hearing. And we need to care enough to want to know and do what it takes to find it out. We also need character to do something about what we learn. To not just let it be interesting information, but to let it change the way that we live. So hearing is the first step, But we can't stop there. It does you no good to know and understand everything about the Bible and then to ignore it. So don't be like the guy putting his hands over his ears. And heart preparation, especially prayer, is necessary to read the Bible well, so that we will be willing to listen, and that we'll put in the effort to hear, and let communication happen. Now, let's try again to see some communication in action.
Hi, Donald. What have you been up to?
Well, you know, my car broke down on the way over here.
Oh, that reminds me. I saw the coolest car on the way over here. It's a muscle car, just like the one I used to have when I was younger. Oh, man, we just tear up down the road. Oh, it's just...
Once again, we have a failure to communicate. Have you ever had a conversation like this? Where it became obvious that they didn't really care what you were saying. They're just waiting for a pause so that they could start talking. They just love to spew their own ideas, and they never really heard what you had to say. Now, this illustrates the principle that for communication to happen, we must be willing to shut up. That is, we need to stop focusing only on our own ideas, and we need to give room for new ideas. You see, there's a very real danger in Bible study that we will insert our own preconceived ideas into what we're reading. You know, we're reading along and off our mind goes on a tangent that has nothing to do with what the Bible is actually saying. And we bring our own questions, our excitement, our passion to our Bible reading. But sometimes they can speak louder than the Bible, and inevitably they influence what we see and learn from the Bible. Or sometimes when we get together in Bible study groups, they just turn into sharing, well, this is what it meant to me, this is what it meant to me. But we need to honestly ask in these situations, where did that meaning come from? Did the Bible really say that? Or is it just my opinion that I put into the Bible? See, when something like this happens, it's not the Bible speaking to us, but it's us speaking over the Bible and drowning out its message with our own. We can put our own ideas into the Bible and then somehow think that this legitimates our own thoughts. But in that case, we don't actually hear what the Bible says in its own terms. Now, this approach is actually very popular and prevalent, but I want to warn you away from it. This is what Jesus called setting aside the wisdom of God for the traditions of men. And it is a hindrance to communication. It keeps us from hearing God. So we need to protect ourselves from having a conversation with ourselves in front of an open Bible. See, good Bible study skills will help you guard against precisely this. We need to hear what the Bible text means, to draw out of it, not put into it. That is, to get out of it what the author put into it, to receive the meaning which the human and divine authors intended to communicate. John Calvin once wrote, "It is the first business of an interpreter to let the author say what he does say instead of attributing to him what we think he ought to say." If we only hear from the Bible what we already know, we don't grow. Now, a lot of what we're going to look at in subsequent sections will help protect us from imposing our own ideas into what we're reading. But like before, it's more than just intelligence and skill. We also need the right attitude and the right mindset. Now, let me explain this by asking a question. How passionate should we be in our Bible study? Now, you might think the obvious answer is, well, very passionate, the more the better. But wait a minute. Didn't I just suggest that we need a little less personal involvement to protect ourselves from reading our own thoughts and cares into the Bible? If we're too passionate in the wrong way, don't we run the risk of clouding our judgment or losing our critical thinking? When we become too close to the subject, we start focusing on ourselves? Now, this possibility is why some have suggested, well, we need to approach the Bible purely objectively. like scientists in white lab coats who are only interested in the facts and wary of any opinion or passion at all. So, which should we choose? Overzealous fools that read themselves into the Bible, or robots in white lab coats who don't feel and don't care? Well, let me suggest we need neither. And we need both. You see, it depends on the kind of passion and the way we use it in Bible study. On the one hand, we do need to protect ourselves against the flood of related thoughts from our memory or our experience or our cares or our fears and all the situations that we're now facing. We need to keep them from getting in the way of us understanding the Bible. We need to protect against this self-focus, being too close to the subject matter to see it clearly. So in some sense, we need what is called distanciation, that is distance. Let me illustrate this by a little story. Horrible story. Imagine a surgeon working in an emergency room when they bring in the victim of a horrible accident. And to his horror, the surgeon realizes the patient is their own son. Now, of course, he cares about his son, and he's overcome with all sorts of emotions and worries, as well he should be. But at that moment, his son needs him to be a skilled surgeon more than he needs a scared father. So, in a sense, he puts aside his care for his son in order to care for his son. That is, he focuses on the medicine at hand so that his son can be saved. And then after the surgery is completed, he can go back to, you know, freaking out over his son's injuries and expressing his emotion and care for his son. So in a similar way, in our Bible reading, as part of the process, we need an attitude and strategies to keep us objective and distant so that we can read clearly and accurately. But then, on the other hand, we also need to protect ourselves against reading without passion. And we should desperately avoid the self-deception of hearing without responding. So we need distance to hear it clearly, but then we need to put ourselves back closely. After we've clearly understood it with a clear head, we should wholeheartedly respond to it with our entire being and passion. That is, we need clear-headed understanding and passionate integration into our lives. But these kind of work separately. We need to be like a surgeon who is skillful without being distracted by their cares, but who also cares deeply about their patients. We need to be able to set aside our previous understandings to hear the Bible on its own terms without forcing the Bible to conform to our previous understanding. That is, we must shut up and let the Bible say what it has to say without our input. Now let's try one last time to see if we can get an example of good communication.
Hi, Sarah. What have you been up to?
不错啊，最近工作还蛮忙的，在准备一篇讲道。
Sorry, yet another example of failed communication. Now again, I assume Sarah said something meaningful and communicated clearly, but I was unable to understand it because I don't speak Chinese. Because I did not have the tools, the knowledge, the experience in the language that she spoke, I didn't understand what she said. See, I don't understand that particular way of communicating. And this illustrates the next principle. For communication to happen, we must be able to understand. And to understand according to the sender's way of communication. That means we must become familiar with and skilled in the particular ways of communication that the Bible uses. You see, understanding is possible. You know, I could learn Chinese, and then I would understand what she said. And many of the ways that the Bible communicates, they can be difficult for us just because we are not familiar with them. We, in a sense, need to learn a foreign way of communication in order to understand the Bible. We should not expect the Bible to conform only to the ways of speaking that we're already familiar with. We need to change to conform to God's ways, including the way that he communicates, which is sometimes different from what we already know. Therefore, we need to exercise our minds to understand what the Bible says. We need a thoughtful faith. Now, unfortunately, some people have a prejudice against using our intellect to think hard about God. Some people even go so far as to say, well, an intellectual faith, that's a sin. No, an intellectual faith is not a sin. It's actually a virtue. What is a sin is a merely intellectual faith, where the only thing we do is think, without connecting it to our passion and our lifestyle. And by the way, an anti-intellectual faith is also a sin, where we ignore God's gracious gift of revelation, and when we don't use the mind that he gave us to understand it, where we instead try to make it up for ourselves, substituting other means of communication than the one God has provided, and other ways of knowing that we prefer more than what God has done. God said we are to love him with all of our minds, among other things. He also said the zeal without knowledge is not good. You see, the only option to a thoughtful faith is a thoughtless faith. The only option to a discerning biblical worldview is a worldview that's built on whatever propaganda is flying around in our world today. The only option to loving God with our minds is to despise truth and instruction. And the book of Proverbs uses this phrase, despising truth and instruction, to describe a fool. So we should use our brains and think hard about these things in order to understand them. C.S. Lewis once wrote, "Christ wants a child's heart, but a grown-up's head." So we need to use our minds to understand communication that might be strange to us at first. We learn to understand a foreign way of communicating. You see, we live in a culture that communicates very different ways than the Bible does. We live in a primarily visual culture that's dominated by TV and cell phones and internet. Therefore, the Bible's way of communicating is sometimes strange to us. In a soundbite culture, lengthy, logical discourse is strange. It's foreign. Symbolic imagery and poetry, subtle, understated storytelling, and roundabout allusions, they're not usually easily grasped in our culture. Reading is becoming a lost art, unfortunately. But we certainly can learn to read it well. It just means that we must retrain our way of thinking and reading, and we need to learn to understand a foreign subject matter in order to read the Bible well. So, for communication to happen, we must overcome the otherness and the foreignness of the Bible. Now, at this point, you might be asking, is the Bible really that hard to understand? Now, I'm not suggesting that we need to learn a completely new language. And I'm certainly not suggesting that we need to learn some secret code or special knowledge. In many ways, the Bible is clear and easy to understand. And I will argue in the future for the clarity of the Bible and its ability to communicate clearly and precisely. But I need to also be honest, in some ways, it is difficult to understand, and the communication difficulty lies with us. I'm suggesting we might need to learn different nuances and rules of communication if we can't yet understand it fully. See, it's kind of like taking a first-timer to a hockey game. Now, at first, they might have a general idea of what's going on, but they don't understand a lot of the details because they've never before learned the rules of the game. In other words, the problem with our reading is not that the Bible is obscure or difficult, and the problem is not our lack of intelligence. The problem is just our lack of experience with something that's strange to us. Sometimes we need to become familiar with the particular ways that the Bible communicates. Sometimes we need to learn new terms, new ideas, new patterns. And the good news is that all of this is possible to understand these things, even if it's not always easy. Therefore, because the Bible is a foreign book that is separated from us by language, history, time, culture, etc., we need to overcome this distance for communication to happen. We need to acclimate ourselves to the way that the Bible speaks. We need to train our reading to conform to the Bible's way of writing. We need to overcome this distance between our understanding and the understanding of the biblical writers, because we're removed from them in a few ways that we need to adjust. First is historical distance. This stuff was written a long time ago to a different people in different times. So a bit of background knowledge of their history will help us to understand what was going on and why. And second is cultural distance. This stuff was written in a foreign culture. So a bit of background knowledge of their customs, their traditions, will help us to understand what was going on and why. And third is a language distance. It was written in foreign languages and foreign ways of expressing things with some unusual technical words and concepts. So a bit of familiarity with the way that they used language will be very helpful for our understanding. And then last is what I call discipleship distance. That is, all of us have different levels of Christian maturity and familiarity with Christ in the Bible. See, there's no shame in being a newbie. There's nothing wrong with not having much experience with the Bible. But it is a shame if we stay that way. No matter where your level of understanding is right now, there is more that you can learn. And the further along you are, the easier it is to understand the rest. Now again, I'm not saying that the Bible is so foreign that we can't understand it, but I want to point out that there are so many ways, so many opportunities to understand it better. We can all become better Bible readers. So let's take up the challenge. So we need to listen, we need to set aside our own ideas, and we need to overcome the distance and find understanding for communication to happen. That means we do need skills, knowledge, and experience, but we also need character and spiritual virtue. Now, this course concentrates on the skills, the knowledge, and the experience, but it also will consistently challenge you to have the humble character that will hear and respond to what God says in the Bible. And the good news is, you don't need to be an IQ genius or have a PhD to read the Bible well. You just need a willingness to hear and to do the work to become familiar with the way that the Bible communicates. But why? What are we shooting for when we read the Bible? What is the ultimate goal of Bible study skills? What are we trying to accomplish? Well, when we hear what the Bible text says, we hear from God. God is communicating through the Bible. It is such a privilege to receive communication from the God who created everything. There are people around the world today starving for the Bible, who risk their lives or their freedom to get a single page. And in our culture, there's a famine of hearing the word of God and massive biblical illiteracy and ignorance, which has brought horrific consequences. Too often in our culture, we're blasé about the Bible and we just leave it on the shelf. But think about it. if the Bible truly is the God of the universe speaking to us, which it is, then it is mind-blowingly important, and we should be passionate about it. We are told that we know God by faith, and faith comes by hearing, and hearing comes by the Word of God. So we read the Bible with the goal of receiving real communication from God Himself. And when we hear from God, we come to know God and experience a changed life. And the more you truly know God, you will be changed for the better. Now, I'm not promising that it will be easy and wonderful. Sometimes life is extremely difficult. Sometimes life change is extremely painful. But I am promising, because Jesus promised, that it is always worth it in the end. We can know God personally, and studying the Bible is a key way to do so. Knowing the God of the universe is the goal of good Bible study. So now let's review what we've learned so far. Bible study, like any successful communication, needs a willingness to listen and learn, protection from our own ideas intruding, the skills to understand what the author is communicating, and the skills to bridge the distance between the author and ourselves. And the result is hearing from God and knowing God Himself. And that's what we're ultimately aiming at in this course. Now, in future sections, we'll go into much more detail on exactly how we can accomplish all these things and read the Bible well. But that's all for this introduction. Thanks for watching.